All right, good morning, Living Hope Fellowship, and welcome back to the Father's House, where we are now, I believe, part 8 of our series entitled Holy Spirit Empowered Deliverance. So this has been a shift in this series over the last, this is now the third week, where we talked about our Holy Spirit Empowered Destiny a couple weeks ago. And last week we talked about Holy Spirit empowered inner healing, and the main point was that we actually cannot step into living out our Holy Spirit empowered destiny if we don't receive our Holy Spirit empowered inner healing that we need now. Just to be clear, I'm not saying that if you didn't receive the healing, you cannot live out your destiny. That's not what I'm saying. Because even inner healing is a process with God, where He's working it out of us. So I want that to be clear. So I'm not saying, if you haven't received inner healing, you've missed it. That's a lie. And I've been trying to reinforce the fact that nothing outside of, none of the enemies of God can negatively impact or take away or strip us of the destiny God has for us. And there's things that we can do sometimes as the children of God to negatively impact, but even then, we don't destroy it. I don't believe that we can destroy it because God is faithful and the destiny is dependent on God, not on us. That being said, we went from Holy Spirit empowered destiny, talk about the role of inner healing into receiving that destiny, and now, and we identified, through Moses last week, signs of the fact that we need inner healing. And I'm going to go to what I think is one of the most powerful ones regarding the inner healing that God offers and true living through the Spirit of God. That oftentimes, a lot of Christianity does not talk about it, probably because it's such a complicated topic. And so today we're coming out of Romans chapter 7, it'll be verses 14 through 25. So let's start off with verse 14. And this is Paul the Apostle talking here. And he's been doing ministry for many, many years. He's a successful church planner, missionary, apostle. The man is on fire for God. And yet we're going to see something where even he, I believe, like all of us, is lacking some inner healing that God wants to do in us. And there's a sign, there's a manifestation when that's happening within us. And you're going to be able to see it here in Romans chapter 7. So verse 14 starts off saying, "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I do not want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am! Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God! The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And so, I want you to see this. Think about who's writing this, and at what point in his life he's writing it. This, by definition, Paul the Apostle, is spiritually mature, probably in ways we will never get to. Not that they're not available, they are. But realistically, most of us will not attain those levels. And even at that level that he's at, in a later book, he talks about the revelation of heaven, the seventh heaven that God gives him. All these wonderful gifts of miracles and healings and, And yet, look at, he's still battling the same thing we did. And not that we did. He's still battling the same things we are. Right? He's still battling with the same things he are. When he wants to do good, he can't. And when he doesn't want to do wrong, he does. And let's be clear, this is not 99% of Paul's life. We know this. I believe that the more we mature spiritually, the less and less the percentage is that this occurs. But ultimately, you know, the poison roots, the wounds, the baggage that still affects our inner bloom will rear its ugly head from time to time and remind us that, you know what, we're still living in this fallen world with this fallen flesh, and there's still so much more healing and purification and sanctification that God needs to do in us and wants to do in us. So I just want to let you know, if you're at a place where you're feeling discouraged, right? You're falling back into some bad habits. Maybe they're sinful habits. It's not the end of the story, and it's nothing strange, and it's not for your defeat. It doesn't mean you have no faith. It means, at least at some level, that there is some woundedness in your inner being that God wants to address right now. The fact that it hurts this bad right now, the fact that it's rearing its head right now, is part of God's mercy to you because he's identifying for you. He's revealing to you that he wants to deal with this. This is the time for this particular area to be dealt with. And one of the things we're going to do today, which is a little bit out of our normal, is we're actually going to take the same principles we dealt with last week. You know, they're good biblical principles. I know you guys appreciate the principles. But today I'm going to show you how do we actually apply these principles specifically in prayer. How do we partner with God for inner healing, which is the other side of deliverance? So what you're going to notice right now is that my definition for deliverance is the exact same definition for inner healing last week. And I know that deliverance, you know, in a bigger scheme of things, deliverance is about the casting out of demons. It's about overcoming of physical ailments and, you know, all these different things that deliverance can be. But for our sake in this series and this sermon and where we're going, deliverance regarding inner healing is the exact same thing. Inner healing and deliverance is God's process of freeing our inner being, heart, mind, and soul, from the baggage, wounds, and poisonous roots from our past that keep it in prison. Right? So think about what Paul just said in that text. I want to do good, but I can't. And I don't want to do wrong, but I do. That is the literal definition of being in prison against your own will. His own will, his inner being, wants to serve God. He wants to obey God, and he can't. He's in prison. Something is stronger than him. Not stronger than God, but stronger than him. And it's a result of baggage, and in my interpretation, his baggage, his wounds, and his poisonous roots that are from his past that are not yet dealt with. So just to be clear, even as we partner with God in inner healing and deliverance, you're never going to get to a point on earth where you're perfect. You're never going to get to a point on earth where it's completely gone. That is awaiting the final transformation, the ultimate transformation with God in eternity. So let's make sure we get that clear. This is not some kind of will your way there. The reason I'm telling you that inner healing and deliverance, as far as this topic is concerned, is the same thing, is because both are dependent on the power of God to do something. We can't do it on our own. We cannot heal ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. The Holy Spirit is the only one who has the power to overcome, to eradicate, to transform, to heal these things. So even as I talk to you about the process of prayer, please understand, even the prayer I show you, this process I show you, is not some magic formula. I'm just trying to get you aligned biblically with what I'm going to be talking today. So that's why I want to encourage you in this process, but please don't understand, if you get the process out of order, or you don't do every single step, then that's why you missed out. No, it's not magic. You know, it takes God's supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to heal us eternally and to deliver us from these things that continue to poison our inner being. So just to remind you, as of last week, because the whole topic of inner healing and our inner being can be weirdly understood by all these cult things, non-Christian things, I need you to understand that when we talk about the inner being or the inner self or the inner person, these are actually biblical terms that you can find in your Bible, especially depending on the translation. So one of the better literal word-for-word translations is the ESV, the English Standard Version. And in any Bible, in the better translations, in Romans 7:22, 2 Corinthians 4:16, and Ephesians 3:16, in the original Greek, all those verses have the clause esoanthropon, the Greek word esoanthropon, which is inner self or inner person. They call it inner man, not as an inner male, but inner human. So this is a biblical concept of your inner person being your heart, your mind, and your soul. So let's keep that in mind. So I'm just going to run through the principles from last week, right? One of the manifestations that you need inner healing, we all need inner healing. We all need deliverance from these things that exist within us. But one of the signs and manifestations of this fact is that even though you know better, even though you pray to God all the time, God, deliver me from this. God, change this. God, give me the power to overcome this. And you fall into it again and again and again. That is a perfect example and sign of the fact that there is some poisonous roots in your inner being that have imprisoned you. And that's why you can't break out of it. We've all experienced the healing power of God's Spirit in different aspects of our life, right? Some of us used to be addicts of some kind. Some of us used to be, all the things. I don't need to go through them. We've experienced the real supernatural power of God in different areas, which is why we get frustrated with, why not in this area, God? And like I said, it's because that's another level, another layer of the onion that's being peeled back by God. For that inner healing, for that deliverance. So like I said, if your relationship is constantly, you're fighting, you're yelling, you're arguing, even though you know as a Christian it's not okay, even though you ask God constantly to change you and it doesn't seem to be happening, understand that there's a poisonous root to that. If your relationship with your children or your parents or your siblings or whoever is just constantly bitter, constantly negative, a lot of, all the toxicity that's there, understand, yes, the other person is responsible too, but there's something within you, some kind of wound, some kind of baggage, some kind of poisonous root that's causing you to be having the same issue over and over again. So principle number one from last week was Holy Spirit-empowered inner healing requires genuine, intimate encounters with God and His perfect timing. God deals with it in His timing. That's one of the things I think we, as Christians, we struggle with so much. God's timing versus my timing. I want it right now, right here. And God is not up to that right now. So I'm going to talk about the practical side in a little bit. So I just want to run through the principles real quick. All from last week. Principle number two. Holy Spirit empowered healing is necessary because we all have baggage, wounds, and poisonous roots that continue to negatively impact our thoughts, behaviors, and relationships. Principle number three, Holy Spirit empowered healing requires rejecting the lies we have come to believe about God, ourselves, and others, and replacing them with God's truth. Principle number four, Holy Spirit empowered inner healing frees us from the power of our past so that it no longer controls us or enslaves us. Principle number five, the events of our lives that we thought were a total waste, I'm sorry, let me back up. I know I haven't written that way because the other way was too long. Holy Spirit empowered deliverance transforms the events of our lives that we thought were a total waste, forever lost, unspeakable, unforgivable, and unhealable, to go from being a toxic wasteland to becoming very fertile soil for God's honor, glory, and praise. 1 Corinthians 1:6, Holy Spirit and power of inner healing is what we must continuously experience if we want to receive our Holy Spirit and power of destiny. 1 Corinthians 1:7, Holy Spirit and power of inner healing is not a one-time event, but a continuous, eternal gift from the Father for you, for the kingdom of God, and for others. Okay? So now, and I just realized it, Ralph had given me a corrected version, and I didn't put the corrected version up here. So I'm going to make some shifts in what I say that you might see a little different on the screen, and that's because I put up the wrong one. So forgive me for that. So let's go to, okay, all those principles I think you would all agree with. You see the wisdom in it. You see it's biblical. Okay, but how does this change my circumstance? How do I break free from the same thing Paul was battling? You know, and if Paul battled it, and it makes it seem to some degree, some people have interpreted, that he's fighting a losing battle, I disagree. His answer is in the last verse. And of course, the answer carries on from chapter 8 of Romans, which is there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the spirit of power, power of the Spirit and how the power of the Spirit continues to overcome. But let's talk about, okay, God has been identifying something for me. And I don't know how to deal with it because I'm being frustrated by the fact that I'm seeing myself do wrong in an area that I know is wrong. I agree with the law of God that it's wrong. I don't want it. I hate it. I want God's power. Okay? So what I'm going to tell you is, this is about, number one, all inner healing, all deliverance comes through prayer. I don't think there's a single instance, I shouldn't say it that way. There's probably very few instances in the Bible where Jesus is not literally praying, or somebody like Elijah or Elisha is not praying for the miracle to happen. So I think we need to understand, but that prayer happens because of the relationship between that individual and God. Now, it's not just somebody randomly praying. Once again, this is not a magic formula. If someone who's a non-believer sets out to do these things, it's not going to have the power of God in it because the relationship between them and God is not there. So understand that this is built on relationship. And through that relationship, we dialogue, we communicate with God to partner with Him in the process of deliverance / healing. So I want to tell you that in my experience, there's this process that I use. You don't have to use it. It's not a word for word. It's not a verbatim. It's not a, this is the right order of things in being. Can't really be any order, but you can get some stuff out of order. So number one, when God is getting really ready to bring in that inner healing and to deliver you from something that has plagued you for a lifetime, it starts off with God's revelation and God's identification of the problem. And it's not just the problem, it is the problem first, but then He starts to go deeper and He takes us back to start to try to trace how far that root goes. Kind of like you're about to take out, you know, a tree that's dying on your yard, and it's just there, it's not bearing any fruit, it's just wasting space. And if it's a big tree, and, you know, you chop down the tree already, but now you have the trunk and the roots. Sometimes what you'll discover is if you start to dig up those roots, man, you're walking 10, 15, 20, 30 feet. You didn't realize the root was that long. And so God wants to help you trace the root so that you don't just cut the trunk and then the root regrows what was there. So that's a process. All of this, each one of these steps is a process in itself. It doesn't happen one day to the next. It can, normally doesn't. Second one is confession. Once God identifies for you, once God reveals to you, then there is a confession on your part, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. There's a confession on your part, I realized, God, I was wrong in this. And then, of course, once you confess, there is a forgiveness that must take place in you that is omnidirectional. It's for everyone involved. More often than not, it started with a mistrust in God or a lie that we believed about God. Then there's the forgiveness we have to offer to those that actually inflicted the pain to us. We also have to forgive ourselves, not forgive like God forgives, but understand, hey, this is part of something God allowed. I don't need to keep beating myself up over this. And then, of course, the last direction is for those who have felt the wrath of this sin in your life. Because there are people that have felt the consequences, whether you knew it or not, because you're living outside of God's truth instead. Step four is you repent, right? Easy, not easy, but easy to understand. Five is we partner with God in the transformation from toxic wasteland to fertile soil. Six is we ask God, we cultivate the soil with God to produce good spiritual fruit. And then seven is we realize this is part of God's good plan to redeem the negative, to redeem the evil, to redeem the wickedness that was committed against us, and now we embrace it and we walk with that deliverance, with that healing, into our destiny. Okay? So that's just an overview. I'm actually going to talk about each one of these today and what it looks like. So I told you, from last week and earlier, that principle one last week was Holy Spirit-empowered inner healing requires genuine, intimate encounters with God and His perfect timing. Last week, that was God meeting Moses at the burning bush. We live in a different time. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think any of us is going to encounter God in the burning bush. So what does it look like when God meets us, when God reveals to us, and how do we enter into that process? So I want to start with, if you have some behaviors, some sinful behaviors, some wrong behaviors that have been plaguing you for a long time, and you don't know where they're coming from at all. You have no clue. And this is kind of like, you're understanding this is a biblical concept. You don't know how to get started. So I want to take you to Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. This is David's Psalm. And this is how, like I said, it's not a magic formula. I just want to get you biblically centered as you think about it. The Psalm says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So if you don't know where it's coming from, you have no clue, I advise you, start praying that. Start praying that. Include that in your prayers with God. Give Him every permission, not that you need your permission, but it's great when you give it and you surrender. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. And point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Of course, the path of everlasting life includes inner healing. It includes deliverance. Okay? So, back to what is revelation and identification look like? So I can tell you, I'm going to take you through my life. And one of the most powerful transformations and inner healings that I went through, which was about 5 years ago. So it's one of the last major ones that happened. So, growing up, I was pretty talented, pretty gifted, athlete, student. I worked for my parents from the time I was 10. And I had all these things going for me. But what happened, and I was pretty confident because I just saw success after success. All God, of course, not me. And I didn't necessarily know that at the time. And, but the problem was that I always stood out in the way I looked, right? I was always this little, short stature, chunky Mexican kid. And even I was actually a star athlete in three different sports, but I didn't have an athletic mold body. It just didn't make sense. So it was funny because, especially in East Side of San Jose growing up, people are all about judging the outside of the cover. And so, because they wouldn't insult me, look at this little chunky kid, what's he gonna do, right? I told you. We had adults saying this to kids, which is so messed up. But what that did was that developed in me this attitude of, oh yeah, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you who I am. So what ended up happening was that I used that as motivation. I used that anger, that frustration as motivation to drive me. And it led to more and more success, but the problem was that it was rooted in, it was producing success, but for all the wrong reasons. It was producing success out of anger and hatred and insecurity. It drove me, and it drove me to success, but that's why it never really lasted. It didn't do a good work in my heart because it was rooted in the wrong thing. And so, as you know, what ended up happening was, as I grew up, because that started around the age of 10 or 11, by the time I'm now 21, 22, and of course, I had my falling away period from 18 to 22, which made things even worse, I lived with this chip on my shoulder of trying to prove myself no matter where I went. And what that meant was, if you ever said anything to me that I didn't like, or I didn't receive as encouragement, I would attack you. I would rip, and you know, I'm fairly intelligent, fairly well educated, and so I would not just rip arguments to shreds, I would rip people to shreds. And I always had something to prove, and because I always had something to prove, I didn't allow anyone really to, on the inside, who I was. I was fighting anyone and everyone all the time. As a kid, you know, as a later teenager, it was physical, but as a man in my 20s, maybe even into my early 30s, I was always fighting. And it took God's revelation, and it was, you know, during a prayer service, you know, I had a bunch, and I had people that loved me, and I loved them, and we had a good relationship, but once again, there was something in me that was not right, that was constantly looking to prove myself, looking to fight. So anyways, so God reveals this to me. And He reveals it to me, and I'm about 32 or 33 at the time, and the part of the revelation was, you can't do ministry this way. Yes, you know, as a pastor, you have to help lead people to God's truth, but because you have this poisonous root about the way you do it, you're making God's truth a curse to people. They can't receive it. You're turning people off, you're being a stumbling block to them because you have this insecurity in you, and now you're not coming at it from the Father's heart. You're coming at it from this bad angle of, you got something to prove, you're going to prove that you're better than them, blah, blah, blah. So I had to enter into this search my heart for God. And the thing is, there was people around me for a long time telling me this, but I wouldn't receive it. Because I just perceived it as a threat against me. I perceived it as negative information towards me. And so I had to enter into this process, okay, God, reveal, where does this come from? And there's deeper roots than, this is probably the deepest root, but there's more aspects to it, right? Like any root to any tree, it's not like just one root. You have, they start to branch out, right? The longer they're around. So God identified for me, He revealed for me. So God will reveal to you directly to yourself through prayer, but God loves to reveal through community. This is where community is so vital to being transformed, because those that you love, those that genuinely love you and are able to speak truth to you, they'll be able to say, hey man, we all notice this right here. This is a commonality between all of us that we see in you, and we believe God wants to deal with this. And if you ask our candidates for deacons and ministers right now, what they're going through in their training, they're going through a 360 evaluation, which is they have different people from different areas of their life all looking in at them who they trust. They trust to tell them the truth. They trust their perspective, and they want to know, okay, what am I missing? What does everybody around me see but that I don't see? Because that's how God speaks to the community. Okay? So once the identification part was done, it was the confession part that came next. Principle 2 last week was, Holy Spirit and power and healing is necessary because we all have baggage, we all have wounds, we all have poisonous roots that continue to negatively impact our thoughts, behaviors, and relationships. So once I realized, you know, and you have to understand, this is a hard truth to take from God, because I now realize that a lot of my success, my hard work, my perseverance, it came from a bad place. God still used it. It was still good in itself, but it came from the wrong motive. I even think about it now. I've never mentioned this to anybody here, but even at seminary, you know, my GPA was 3.91. And so that means I never got anything lower than an A-. And it's good because, yes, I'm a nerd and I'm a brainiac and I love the research, but I think that there was still a small connection to the fact that I needed to prove that I was bad. That I was, you know, because I wasn't necessarily received by everyone on campus. I still look the way I look. I can't change that. And there's certain assumptions that come with my ethnicity, especially when it comes to higher learning. I still had something to prove. There's still a nugget of that in me. And so for me to be able to confess to God, you know what, God? You use all this. You actually were the one with the power. You're the one that worked through me to make the success. But I didn't always have the right motives. And to confess that to God, and we see this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. When God reveals, make sure you don't get in a position of it's not true. Please make sure you do not fight against God's revelation that you're wrong, that you are sinning in this area. Because as 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9 say, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, right? Cleansing, the inner healing, the deliverance. But we have to confess, God, I've been living outside of Your truth in this. I've been living outside of Your will in this. I've been living outside of Your heart in this. And I'm sorry. And that takes us to principle number 3. Holy Spirit empowered inner healing requires rejecting the lies we have come to believe about God, ourselves, and others, and replacing them with God's truth. For Moses, we saw what that looked like last week, right? I'm not going to go through it now. This is already running a little long. But you can go back to our last week's sermon, which is posted on the website. Look at the past that Moses had to live through. Of course the man had baggage and wounds and poisonous roots. So I went from revelation and identification to confession, and now it's time for forgiveness. And the first thing was, I had to realize, and this is what most people don't realize, the fact that I got angry and upset with people's criticism of me, and the fact that I looked the way I look, and I couldn't possibly be good at that, I realized that part of what I was doing was because I was angry with God. I was not happy with the way God chose to make me. And I said, God, why did You make me this way? You know, now I'm in a public mission, but in my youth, I was a year-round athlete every year for over a decade. I was always running, always training, and no matter what, I could never be slim like anybody else. Right? And I used to get so mad. Why? I'm eating the right food. I'm running the right race. I'm doing everything I can. I'm working hard. Nobody works harder than me. But why did You make me this way? And why did You subject me to this criticism and this ridicule and this bullying? So I had to realize my first forgiveness was between me and God. And that's why I'm so big today, if you think about it, on God chose to make you the way He did. We may not be happy with it, but who cares? God has purpose. And you're going to hear about that in a minute. God chose you to be the way you are, not in every negative way. Don't get me wrong. Some of that we did ourselves, like I did here. But He chooses the family we're born into, the generation we're born into, the city we're born into, our hair color, eye color, all the positive attributes, gifts, abilities, that's all God given. And we got to make our peace with that. So my first part was, God, forgive me for being so stupid and so ignorant as to think that I knew better than You. What I now realize is the package that I come in is all about giving God the honor and the glory, because my package is nothing. And I also didn't realize that because, you know, I didn't look like what I wanted to look like on the outside. It taught me how to see people's hearts. And that was one of the major things I needed as a man of God, number one. And of course, it's past and later, but it was so crucial to every aspect of my life. It allowed me to be surrounded by people who I didn't want to be around them because of the outside. I wanted to be around them because of the inside. And it was something that was a gift from God. So once I ask for God for forgiveness, forgive me for being so foolish, for judging you when I knew nothing. I then had to forgive those that were constantly, and I had to ask for forgiveness from those who were never criticizing me. They were never putting me down. They were never bullying me. I treated them like they were looking like. They genuinely loved me. They gave me constructive feedback. but I perceive their feedback as a threat because of my unhealthiness, because of the fact that I was not beginning to. So I had to ask them for forgiveness. I mean, chief among them were my family, my parents, my siblings, and we're still living out, a couple of my siblings and I are still living out the consequences of those decisions, of those behaviors. Right? Not only did they feel the negative effects of it, but they also embodied some of it. And now here I am kind of showing a different way, not because I'm a master, not because I'm great, but because I realized that it was coming from an unhealthy place, a place that had not been touched by the Spirit of God. And then, of course, I had to get forgiveness for myself. Right? I had to understand it's okay. You know, yes, this happened. Yes, I was the cause of it. But I don't even condemn myself if God doesn't condemn me. So forgiveness needs to go in every direction. And then I had to forgive those who actually did bully me. They did, you know, hurt me. They did put me down. They did try to put me down. Because that was a very literal thing too. I had people, because of who I was, they didn't want to see me succeed. And they did everything in their power to keep me from succeeding. And yet, I still needed to forgive them for what they did, because there's a bigger game going on than what they did to me. There's a battle in the supernatural to try to keep me from my God-ordained destiny that even they are not aware of. And so understanding the bigger picture, God allowed it, that I got to be okay with that. Not that what they did was good, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but I can forgive them knowing they're flawed human beings just like me. They have their own inner issues, their own, you know, poisonous roots to their inner being that they got to deal with. And of course, the scripture for that, for forgiveness all around, is Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, one of the things is that when we are not healed by the Spirit in our inner being, we often assume and jump to very negative conclusions about others. Right? We assign motives to them that they probably don't even have, because we are the ones that are unhealthy. We are the ones that are not right with God here. And so, like I said, we assume things about people, we jump to conclusions about them, we declare them enemies when even they're not enemies. I just told them. I made enemies of the people that love me the most because I was not right. And so we need to understand, even if somebody does wrong towards us, first of all, we need to get to a place where we can dialogue about it. But second of all, we don't need to make them our enemy. We don't need to pretend they have the most vicious, you know, mindset and heart. And how can they even call themselves Christians? We've all been there. We've all done that. We don't need to go there. But we need to realize, okay, why is this striking me so hard? Why is this causing my flesh to rise up with such aggression? The problem is not, they may be provoking me, but they're not the one causing me to lose control. They're not the one causing me to lose my mind, lose my peace. That's me. So what is God trying to tell me through this? That, I think that leads to principle 4, which is now repentance, right? Holy Spirit power of inner healing frees us from the power of our baggage, wounds, and poisonous roots, so that they no longer control us or enslave us. That's what repentance does. And I need us to understand repentance as, you know, number one is turning the opposite direction and walking now in the newness of life. But what this means is that these very poisonous roots, this baggage, this wounds, we can't keep carrying them around. When God identifies the root and we're going through this process with Him of inner healing and deliverance, we gotta cut that root out. We gotta partner with God. You know, God is an actual tool. Maybe we're the tool. So God's the one actually cutting this root out, using us as the chainsaw, using us as the axe. But we have to be faithful to do it when we see it. We can't just let it lie. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 warns us, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Right? The root of bitterness, it's in quotes there. I don't know why it's in quotes on this translation. That's literally what it says. That's not me changing the words. right? The bitter roots is what it says when John the Baptist says it. So God knows about these roots of bitterness. And not only if we leave the root, they will regrow. They will spring up and cause trouble, and it ain't just for you. It's for everyone around you too. And by it, you may become defiled. So what are we supposed to do? This is what John the Baptist says in Matthew 3:10. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Naturally, he's talking about what God's wanting to do, but this is what we're supposed to be like the Father. He reveals the root. You know, he reveals the problem, which partners us with him in discovering how far these roots go. When we get to it, we gotta let God do his work. See, because the problem is when we see the root, it's gonna be ugly, but it's also gonna be something that is so deeply entrenched in us that we have a difficulty seeing the difference between that poisonous root and who we are. And it's gonna cost sacrifice. It's gonna cost a price. It's going to cause pain to cut it out. So oftentimes we don't cut it out. We just leave it. We'll just cut it back as far as we can. That'll be good. It won't. Principle number 5 was Holy Spirit empowered inner healing transforms the events of our lives that we thought were a total waste, forever lost, unspeakable, unforgivable, and unhealable, to go from being a toxic wasteland to becoming very fertile soil for God's honor, glory, and praise. Right? This is what the healing does. It's the same soil, but it's transformed from toxic wasteland to fertile soil. Why? Because you have received the power of the Spirit in your inner being. And watch how Joseph does it in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. His brothers come to him, right? Your father told us, don't kill us, don't kill your brothers, right, when I'm dead. And they fear that he's going to retaliate, and he had every reason to. But Joseph tells them in verse 20 of Genesis 50, you intended to harm me. He doesn't pretend that it wasn't bad. What you did was evil. What you did was evil. But God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I can save the lives of many people. So yes, some of the things that we've gone through were flat out evil, wicked, straight from demons. Man, there's no arguing. But if you let God do his work in your inner being, then you can see that the other side of all this wickedness and this evil and this sin is good plan of God. To produce fertile soil. Once again, that's not just fertile for you, but so that many people's lives can be saved. It wasn't just about Joseph overcoming his past and being now the right-hand man of Pharaoh. It was about God's plan to save many, many, many lives. And that's why I told you when I came in as pastor, that what we're partnering with God to do is radical life transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit, which will result in many, many, many other lives being saved. Because there's no greater witness for Christ than a life radically transformed, where that toxic wasteland now becomes fertile soil that produces spiritual fruit. And you know what does fruit produce? More seeds. More good seeds. And now we go not only from being the fertile soil that produces spiritual fruit, but we partner with our Father to be the sower of the seeds and the sower of the good seeds. Right? We're not sowing tainted seeds anymore. We're not sowing corrupted seeds. We're not sowing seeds that grow in toxic wastelands. It's coming from the fertile soil. Principle number 6. Holy Spirit empowered inner healing is what we must continuously experience if we want to embrace our Holy Spirit empowered destiny, producing good spiritual fruit. Now, don't get me wrong. When this happens, when God transforms you, you've already experienced it before. But as God continues to partner with you in this now and in the future, once you receive these major moments of transformation, Don't think your work is done. Your work's not done. Because you're never going to be fully everything God wants you to be on this side of heaven. So celebrate God, praise God, glorify God, sow the good seeds in others, let it result in God saving many, many lives, but get back to the drawing board, because there's more. And of course, I use Matthew chapter 13, the sower of the seed, right? And I'm not going to read it right now. You guys have it, Matthew chapter 13, from verse 1, really, too. I think close to the end of the chapter. We know that God's good seed falls on the footpath, the hardened soil, and the bird comes and eats it. We know that it falls on shallow soil, rocky soil, so that it only grows up and then it dies because the sun is too hot. We know that it falls into ground with a lot of weeds. So yes, the good tree, the good seed grows, but the weeds choke it out and kill it. And then we know that it falls on good fertile soil, which produces fruit. But the bottom line is, and I did a sermon on this when I first got here, understand that your inner being has all four soils. And everybody's percentage of those soils is different. Some of us may have 30% good soil, and you know, the other 70 is broken up between hardened and rocky and weeds. But we want to get to a place where all of our soil is good for the soil, where God continues to transform the soils of our inner being. So even when God transforms you, celebrate with guests, but don't stop, don't quit. Don't be satisfied for a gain in 10%, man. Look at the next 60 that you gotta go. And that gets down to principle number 7. Holy Spirit empowered inner healing releases us to understand that the ways we have been broken are all expressions of our uniqueness, our anointing, and our blessings in God's kingdom. Right? What this means is when you really have received the inner healing, when you really have received the deliverance of the Holy Spirit, you'll understand that the path that it took to get to where you are, yes, it was full of pain, yes, it was full of suffering, yes, it was full of brokenness, but it was still part of God's good plan because He redeemed it. Because He had a future that in spite of all that happened, in spite of everything that tried to keep you from being with God and walking with God, God has redeemed you. And it's now a good plan, not only for you, but for many others around you. And that's why I want to say your destiny, your Holy Spirit empowered destiny. Your Holy Spirit empowered destiny, man, is Jeremiah 29, 11, starting with verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when I pray, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. Do you understand now why I'm telling you about the process of deliverance? It's all about your relationship with God and praying through it. Right? If you look for God wholeheartedly in these things that He's exposing to you, you will find Him. And He will end your captivity. Right? What did I say? Our inner being, as it's affected by the baggage and the wounds and the poisonous roots, yes, we're physically set free. We're even spiritually set free by the work of Christ, no doubt about it. But although we're literally free, our mind, our inner being remains captive to the baggage, to the wounds, to the poisons. But if we understand, if we're willing to embrace the fact that even God's good plan comes with pain and suffering and brokenness and injustice and oppression and everything else in between, but because God planned to redeem it all along, because no matter what happened, He's going to use all of it for positive, for the kingdom of God. Then that ends your captivity. And it restores the fortunes of God. There is power. Our God is powerful. And He gives us the power to live free in this world where Satan and his demons reign, where the whole system is fallen, where sin is infected everything, and where our own flesh betrays us. And yet, when Jesus leaves us here, He leaves us with the indwelling Spirit to give us the power to overcome everything, to thrive despite everything that's against us. So when we experience defeat, when we experience depression, when we experience, you know, brokenness that we feel like failures, you're not. You just have to tap in more to the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to allow Him into a deeper level of your inner being to deal with those things that are in there that you might not be aware of. You might not consciously be aware of it, but your actions, your words, your thoughts are manifestations of it. So if you're like Paul, if you're like me, if you're like every hero and heroine in the Bible who does the things from time to time that you hate, if you have those things selected out that you know God wants you to do, but you can't seem to do it, make sure you keep your gaze on the Father. Make sure you let Him reveal to you, identify for you what's going on, so that you can confess it, so that you can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness in all directions, so that you can repent, so that you can be transformed, so that you can produce good spiritual fruit, and so you can embrace your Holy Spirit and power of destiny. Amen. Father God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You, we thank You, and we thank You for the fact that You didn't leave us here on earth powerless. In fact, Jesus said that He needed to return to the Father, and that it would be in our good interest for Him to go, because then He would receive the Holy Spirit. And unlike any other time, Lord, You give us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. God living inside of us, Almighty, powerful God. Lord, we know that You call us Your special treasure that lives in clay vessels. Fragile clay vessels. And we're a special treasure because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because of the fact that we are Your children. Because You are just who You are. So Father, I pray right now that You will continue to help every single one of my brothers and sisters, every single one of Your daughters and sons, to understand that there is more power that they can tap into. You are all powerful. There's no power like You, God. These things that plague us and hurt us, they're nothing in comparison to Your power. Lord, help us to enter into this process of deliverance. Help us to engage in the prayers for deliverance, Lord. Because these are not the kind of things that we have to wonder if it's Your will or not. Of course it's Your will. Of course it's Your will for us to receive more and more of Your power in our inner being. We don't even have to ask if that's Your will. But Lord, help us commit ourselves and to surrender ourselves to asking for You to continue to give us this power, for us to be overwhelmed by Your power, for us to surrender to the power that is Your Holy Spirit. Father, I know You're up to something so marvelous and so good, and I want You to communicate to Your daughters and sons that are running up against a wall right now. They feel so defeated right now. They feel so lost right now. That they would understand that these feelings are because You're going to reveal to them, You're going to identify for them the root of what's causing it, because it's not You. The fear that is setting in, the anxiousness that's setting in, Lord, that you have the ultimate answer for them. But that they must not run away from what you're doing right now. That the Holy Spirit would push them and encourage them and drive them towards the goal, Father, which is to be like our Master, Jesus Christ. So, Father, in your perfect time, we know that this is going to happen. We know that the final and ultimate transformation happens on the other side of heaven. But we also know that it is your very desire for us here on earth, every day, every week, every month, and every year, to be more and more transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We know you're not holding back on us, Father. Help us to stop holding back from you. Father, we know you're faithful. We thank you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.